we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is kidnapping of children by the state, with someone who is going through this insanity right now, Candy from Utah. And please continue what you were saying before the break in terms of your son. And I'm sure you've checked it out for yourself as far as the side effects of Seroquel. I always tell anybody I speak to that, you know, people have to check out the side effects of their medication before taking them, because, of course, there are so many dangerous side effects for any of these drugs. And what is the excuse they gave you for putting your son on this drug?
That he was crying too much at night in front of the other children. He was causing a lot of problems with them. He was making it a lot harder with them as far as crying so much. They said that he was too depressed from this happening, that he was just too traumatized by this, and they needed to put him on something to calm him down. When I said, you know, you can solve this by letting me visit him or bringing him back to me, they refused to let me visit him at the uni building. They told me that he was unstable at the moment and that I shouldn't be able to visit him right now until they can get him stable. I explained that letting me visit him would make him stable, and they refused to let me visit him.
Mm-hmm.
So they finally did say I could go at least visit the psychiatrist, and that's when that cop pulled me over and held a gun to my head and threatened me.
Okay, one thing I just wanted to mention to you, I don't remember the brand name of it, but I know that there's a pen that you can buy that actually has a video camera in it. You might want to check that out and use that to protect yourself. Not that you'll ever be able to bring any of that into court, but just to diagnose what's going on. Let me just read some of the admitted side effects of Seroquel. Breast development in boys, stiff muscles, high fever, sweating, confusion, fast run, even heartbeats, tremors, feeling like you might pass out. Like, as you mentioned, they've already threatened your children that they have to do well in school. How is he supposed to be doing well in school when he's taking a drug that causes all these side effects? Jerky muscle movements you cannot control, trouble swallowing, problems with speech, tremors or restless muscle movements in eyes, tongue, jaw, neck, arms, or legs, mask-like appearance of the face, problems with speech, blurred vision, eye pain, seeing halos around lights, increased thirst and urination, which means it causes diabetes, excessive hunger, fruity breath odor, weakness, nausea, and vomiting, flu symptoms, the list goes on. And as I said, of course, breast development in boys. Now, of course, that's going to be a big problem for your son if something like that happens, because that's not reversible. Is he still on the medication?
Yeah, he is. He's on 100 milligrams. As a matter of fact, they told me the last time I talked to him that they were upping the medication because they said that sometimes by upping it, it can make it a better scenario than by lowering it, even though it seems like that would be odd, they said.
What a joke. Okay, we'll be back after these messages, folks. Stay tuned. Back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is kidnapping of children by the state, with one of the most disgusting stories I've heard in a very long time. My guest is Candy from Utah. And you were talking about how, was it the police that contacted your landlord and tried to get you evicted on top of all the other trauma that you've suffered?
Yes, it was. It was actually a sergeant, and he called our landlord. Our landlord actually texted us and told us on a text, several texts actually, that the officer had called him and begged him to evict us, even if we paid the rent, not to accept it or not to say that we paid it, to just let us get evicted because that's the only way right now they could turn this into a criminal case instead of where it's at right now. They need, in order to take our kids away. They actually informed them I was pregnant, which I didn't even know I was pregnant because I had an IUD put in me. So it was a shock to me to find out through my landlord that the officer told him that I was pregnant and had already lost six kids. When I found out that through my drug test that we take every day, it's something that they always have us have people do through DCFS, that they actually somehow found out that I was pregnant, and the officer called our landlord and let him know that I was pregnant again.
Well, obviously the way they found out is because they sent some of your blood for a pregnancy test. Well, first of all, what does any of what's happening have to do with you being evicted? Of course, I'm sure that the police calling the landlord and instructing him to do this, now the landlord's going to have to worry, well, what are the cops going to do to me if I don't do what they tell me? Am I going to lose my children? I mean, this
exactly.
is the kind
he
of...
Exactly. He told us that. He actually was afraid of that, but he said that because they called him, he realized that this whole time we haven't been lying, that we've been telling the truth, and that it was amazing to him to even hear from them that it actually made him want to help us. So he's now helping us and working with us on everything now just because of that. He's even telling us that we can even wait on our rent just because he wants to make sure that we get our kids back. But the way it affects us is that they tell you that you have to show stability, that you have to show that you can provide for your children. You have to have enough rooms in your house. We've been paying for a 5-bedroom home with a big park in the backyard for the last, let's see, since pretty much September, since I got out of the psychiatric ward. So since September, we've been paying for this, and we still don't have our children. And it's a $1,400 a month home. And they are trying to get us evicted so that way we can't show stability so they can take our children.
Unbelievable, but not at all surprising. Okay, so from what you wrote to me, this all started because obviously what appears to me is that, you know, we know the fire department and the police, that they have their scanners. They're all listening to what's going on. And the police must have heard your call going to the fire department, and then they said to themselves, now we got her.
We had a neighbor that hated her guts, and he was the officer who we had on recording that refused to check into our daughter's situation at school, where she said some guy came into her school and was trying to, it gets really involved, that he was basically trying to be sexual with her, and we tried to report it a year prior. They never investigated it. And they sought retaliation by waiting for us to make a mistake, waiting for us to mess up like I did.
And as it turns out, this cop that refused to investigate your daughter's claim was a neighbor of yours?
Yes, he was a neighbor of ours, and we had him on recording refusing to investigate the claim, which he knew I had the recording because it fell out of my husband's pocket one day, and he had the recording in his hand.
So now they've threatened you when they pulled you over, putting a gun up to your head, that you have to turn over that recording, correct?
Yes. To this day, I'm supposed to be waiting for his phone call to let him know where I'm supposed to meet him to give him the recording.
Well,
I'm dead, and they're going to get to my son like they did before. They said, we got to your son once, we can get to him again.
Right. And, of course, if I was you, I'd make another recording of that recording.
I've made tons.
Okay, obviously it's very important, and that's why they want it. Where do you stand now in terms of the proceedings? You said you have another hearing in April.
It's my last hearing.
Pardon me?
It's my last hearing.
So that kind of tells you something right there. And you're basically representing yourself at this point, right?
I just have no way of trusting someone right now. I've gone through two attorneys. Both of them have failed me. They have lied in court. They have held back evidence that they should have presented in court. And they themselves have been terrified. The one attorney trusted me with her own daughter to read her books and to watch her and babysit her for a couple of days. And she herself was so terrified they were going to take her child because the guardian threatened her that she dropped out of the case and withdrew. So I am my own attorney now, and I am not going to move from that position.
Right. Well, obviously, that's the best option amongst a series of non-options because they never let a pro se win. I myself, when I went through this, I couldn't afford an attorney, so I represented myself. I was in 7 courts over 7 years. One of the most traumatic things I've ever gone through in my life. And, of course, that's how I learned how corrupt the courts actually are. And the fact that they've told you this is your last hearing, you know, it kind of sounds like they've already made up their mind how this is going to go.
Oh, well, she told me that this is not, that she said, why would I keep your kids this long and continue this long if I was going to take your children? She said, I want to give your children back to you. This is what she said at every hearing I've gone to. But then I go to the hearing, and she belittles me. She talks down to me. She refuses to hear any evidence or anything we have to say in defense against the guardian ad litem who attacks us at every hearing. And basically, it's just set up. The whole thing's set up from the beginning, and they make you look crazy. They convince you that you're crazy, that you know, everyone's not against you. It's just you that's believing that everyone's against you. There's no way that many people can be against you. The whole world can say that the world is flat when it's round. So you need to believe that everyone is not against you. And I don't believe it. I know for a fact that my children, we had just got back from Disneyland. We love each other. We're a very close family. And I will get my children back one way or another. It's that simple.
Have they informed you that they're going to confiscate your bun in the oven once that baby is born?
Absolutely. The foster parent actually said to me that she knows for a fact from previous experience that it is not uncommon for them to go after the baby that is in the tummy of the parent that has had their child taken. She said to be very careful. She said, a matter of fact, Candy, I'm really sorry to say this, but if I were you, I would take off now before you have this baby and try to at least save this baby because they will take this baby. That was the actual foster parent, and I have that on recording as well because I record everything just because since this has been happening, you know, being told you're crazy, it gets kind of so out of control to the point where you do believe everything is against you, and you want to record it so you can just keep a little bit of the sanity there for yourself.
Right. Well, it's not a matter of believing everybody's against you. It's experiencing it and knowing it and,
yes,
and having, you know, firsthand evidence. Have you tried to go to anybody in the mainstream media to expose this atrocity?
I'm not allowed to. The judge ordered it in court that I am not allowed to go to the media. I'm not allowed to go to YouTube. I'm not allowed to put it on Facebook. I am not allowed. I'm not allowed to talk to you today. I'm not allowed to do this or I could go to jail. So I'm doing this for hundreds and thousands of children out there that are experiencing this and for my children because I will not sit back and I will not allow this to keep continuing because it's wrong and our country is under attack and I do still and know that this should not be allowed. God does not say to sit there and wait for the boat. He says to take it upon yourself, and you are to protect your children. He gives us these children protect. We should be protecting them.
Well, and actually, this goes along with a communist manifesto of which every plank has now been activated in this country. Destruction of the family is key, and there's many ways they're destroying families, but, of course, taking children away from loving parents, I can't think of anything worse than that. And not to mention the fact, you know, then doing all kinds of things to them, like vaccinating them and giving your son Seroquel when it has such terrible side effects. And you just have to sit by and watch all this. I mean, this is torture.
Dr. Carly, here, before you go to break, here you go. Here's the example of torture.
Okay, wait, hold on, hold on. We're going to break.
That's an example of torture that my family's going through.
And that's one of your children screaming as they're trying to rip the child out of your arms, right?
It took five women to take him off of me. He was choking me, literally trying to hold on for dear life to not be taken again.
Unbelievable. Well, what can I say? If any of you have comments or questions or have your own situation that you'd like to bring in, feel free to call in. We'd like to take your calls. Once again, the call-in number is 800-313-9443. We're going to a break. We'll be back after these messages. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is kidnapping of children by the state, with my guest Candy from Utah, who has already lost six children to the machine and is now being threatened to lose her unborn baby. We have a caller, Verna from Canada. Are you there, Verna?
Good afternoon, Dr. Kali, and good afternoon to your guest.
And yes.
My regret goes out to what she has been put through. But, Dr. Kali, you are well aware of, and you know what your friend Mayan, what she was fighting for.
Yes.
I think we got those rat's nests of pedophiles all over the place. In the highest places, and they're looking always for young children. They can feed into their system. And this is basically not just only pedophiles, it's Satanists.
Yes.
They're playing for keeps. They want to take over.
Well, I totally agree with you, and I encourage the listeners, go to franklinscandal.com. I've had the author of the book by that name on my show. He talks about how the highest level people in all governments are pedophiles. And yes, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, during one of my visits to see my son Joey, they did all kinds of things to torment me. One of the things that they did, I happened to go for a visit before Halloween, and they left a card on the table as I was sitting waiting to see my son about a party they were having to celebrate child abuse. It actually said that, a Halloween party to celebrate child abuse. I still have that card. I took it with me. And this is, in fact, what's going on. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that most of these child protective, quote-unquote, workers are Satanists. They're probably involved in all kinds of evil against children. And they actually enjoy causing the suffering and pain. This is one of the things that they do. They have no conscience. And, it's a very dark situation. And once you're sucked into it, I mean, it's just unimaginable what's going on.
Dr. Kali, I got a question. Where are the so-called mainstream, mainline churches?
That's a very good question. I understand you did go to your church, Candy. What happened?
I went to my church, and they told me that until this was all resolved, that they needed to stay away from the situation, that they would be there for me after it was all resolved.
Oh. Meaning after the children are officially adopted out. You're not a Mormon, right? I think you said you were a Seventh-day Adventist?
I am now. I was going to a actual non-denominational church at the time, and now I am definitely Seventh-day Adventist, yes.
Okay, and what do they have to say? Are they willing to get involved and help you in any way?
You know, I believe in their beliefs. I believe in, you know, the Saturday, the keeping the Sabbath. But honestly, I haven't actually been attending fully other than one time the church itself and trying to get help from them. Maybe it's that I've just given up on that hope of someone else helping me. I'm trying to rely on myself and have trust that I can do this and God himself. And honestly, I've been let down by my first church. I don't want to keep going to everyone for sympathy. I'm trying to do the best I can through this and hope that God does a miracle and that I can, through my, I don't know how to put it, but just through letting everyone know about this and getting it out there, that hopefully things can change. They haven't had a chance to help me, honestly.
Okay. Anything else, Vern?
What I've encountered here with the mainline churches, basically the worst pedophile, you find them right in the churches, and they're very hidden.
Right. It's not just the Catholics. It's all the churches. Yeah, I would tend to agree.
Yes,
and I was being told already years ago when they wanted to send me up to mess around with children. And I found it so disgusting. Then I was being told by one lady in frustration, then you never will become an accepted member of the community.
Wow.
And I think that is going on all over North America.
It is, yeah.
I agree.
So.
Absolutely.
They're picking off people one at a time. Dr. Carly, what we were talking about there in 2009 when you were so gracious to interview me, I said it's basically a clandestine takeover, not by the barrel of a gun, but with all those clandestine methods. They gradually destroy the families and create a fight and a rift between the families and through... directed, you know, all the new technologies and all their hidden means. You know, there are at least a million targeted individuals all over North America. And that's the way they're picking people off one at a time. And they hurt. They have to keep them quiet. They have to keep them entertained. They have to keep them occupied. So the hurt doesn't wake up and suddenly run amok.
Right. Yes, and of course, most people cannot believe that this could be happening until it happens to you. And that's why I try to, you know, wake people up, because you will be next. I mean, when is this going to stop? What's going to stop it? How can we possibly allow this to continue? This is pure evil. You know, why do we think that so many young people are having all kinds of problems in today's United States? Many of them have gone through the foster care. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is kidnapping of children by the state. Vern, did you have any other comments?
Dr. Carly, it's one important question. The media is supposed to be the watchdog. And where are those mainstream media whores for hire?
Well, we know where they are. They're the fourth, part of the government. They're all controlled by the psychopaths who are destroying the world. And as Candy said, she's been ordered not to go to the media. Anyways, this is the kind of thing that they do.
Dr. Carly?
Yeah, go ahead.
I actually did go anyway, though, because I'm that kind of person. And after talking to one of the main people there who was in the middle of getting ready to retire, he explained to me that when it comes to DCFS, that they try to stay out of those cases. And that the fact that I had the flash drive that would prove that they were talking those kind of things, he would definitely be interested in that, because it's proof that other than that, you never went against the state, he said.
But he did nothing, right?
But he did nothing. He never contacted me back. And as far as the flash drive itself, I'm sure eventually I could probably get that heard, because it is very scary and sad, and just listening to this flash drive is very disturbing, but it's not something that the media, like they said, would want to be involved in unless we had a lot of evidence, because they are terrified to be involved when it comes to DCFS, because they always have, they have immunity, like you were explaining earlier.
Right. Well, I can assure you, it doesn't matter how much evidence you have, they would never get involved. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. I tried to get the media in Long Island involved with my son's case, and I had a reporter actually come to my house and look over some of the evidence. I have a whole boatload, basically, of corruption and fraud in my son's case. And he actually had tears streaming down his eyes as he told me, my editor would never let me touch this with a 10-foot pole. It's not going to happen. And so he basically admitted that, you know, this is something that they're not allowed to cover. And he was actually the reporter for, you know, the courts. So that was one of my many Twilight Zone moments. And that's why it keeps on going, because nobody's doing a darn thing.
Dr. Carly, may I ask one more question?
Yes.
Mrs. Candy, your court proceedings, were they in an open court?
An open court. They were with a judge, and it wasn't a trial by jury. It was just a trial.
Yeah, but was the courtroom open to the public?
No, it wasn't open to the public. It was open to just the people that we had as witnesses.
Right.
So
that's another thing they do. They did the same thing in my son's case. The judge closed the court, he said, to protect my son. So, that's how it works. Right, because if you can have court watchers there to document what's going on, that's a very powerful thing. But that's why they don't allow court watchers there.
Yes, exactly.
Were reporters allowed in the courtroom?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Were reporters allowed in the courtroom?
No, they absolutely not. That was absolutely not. That it's detrimental to the kids, they said. That you don't, it's not something, they make it as if the kids are at risk if they do stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, they want to protect the children. They want to protect
the children.
But what comes out is, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So it turns around exactly the opposite.
Right. Well, yes. They're protecting their corrupt system is what they're doing. But as Candy said, the reporter basically, never got back to her. They had no intentions of covering the story. So why are they going to go to court anyways? They would never go to court. Because, you see, once you have a corrupt legal system and the cops are involved and things of that nature, they can intimidate anyone. Anyone that has children, they can tell them, well, we're going to take your children, so stay out of it. This is one of the most severe threats that anybody could experience is loss of your children. And as Candy said, the attorney was basically reminded that she had a child, so mm-hmm. get out of this case if you know what's good for you type thing. That's how it
works. She even told me she would teach me how to do it myself and just pretend like she's not even involved if I would just let her withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I say, we cannot depend on the legal profession, on the lawyers.
No. Mm-hmm. I call them.
But if you do it yourself, you can't win either because they have no respect for you and they put you in contempt of court if you even speak at all, pretty much.
And birds of a feather will stick together. They all swear the oath to the bar, a foreign entity that's located in London. The lawyers and the judges and the court prosecutors.
Right. Exactly.
So birds of a feather will stick together.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your call, Vern. I appreciate it.
And I wish the best for Mrs. Sandy.
Thank you.
And
And let me just say that when I went through my 7 years of torment, the judge in my case, his name is Richard Lawrence from Nassau County, Long Island, he sent me to a psych ward to be evaluated when I asked him if he was following the Constitution. He also held me in contempt twice, which is really a joke when you think about it. How can you not have contempt for the court once you find out what the court's all about? And, of course, the fact that they have that power to begin with. If you ask a question and you raise your voice, they can use any excuse they want to charge you with a contempt. Not to mention the fact that they also change transcripts. I almost ended up on the street because I was having to purchase so many transcripts of court proceedings. And in one of the transcripts I have, the judge actually states that the judge has the power to, basically redact things from the transcripts. So there's no way you can win. The only way you can get evidence of their corruption and fraud is, as Candy did, to videotape them. And I suggest, like I said, you check out that pen. I don't remember the name of it, but I'm sure you could find it
even
online.
Even then, Dr. Carley, that doesn't matter. They won't use it in court. And
no,
honestly,
no, but you have it for your files, I'm just saying. You
yeah,
have it
that's true.
For your files. Because eventually, someday, just as I hope with my son, who will be 17 next month, if they haven't totally destroyed him. I hope that someday, you know, when he's of age, he will contact me, and I will show him what I did to try to save him so that he knows.
Well, you've done a lot, obviously.
Pardon me?
You've done a lot, obviously. I mean, you've done amazingly. You're amazing.
Well, and now I'm trying to cause the death of medicine because, you know, I've realized how corrupt my profession is. This corruption and fraud extends to all areas of our life, and that's why we live in hell. And it's going to be the people that do something about it. I'm not waiting for any miracles. If the people don't stand up and say they're not going to take this anymore, it's going to get worse.
They can't just say they're going to pray about it. God sends three boats, and you just pray for it, and then you don't take the boat, nothing happens. You have to take the boat. You have to take the boat. You have to do what the Eve says and protect your children.
Right. But you can't protect your children, because now the children are in the hands of the state.
What would you do if your country was under attack and somebody came to your house and stole your children by gunpoint? Are you going to just hand your children over? I mean, you would fight. What would you do? You would fight and you would protect your children. And no one's doing that. They're saying, but they're legally doing it.
Right. Well, I totally agree with you. And that's why I say, if CPS comes knocking at your door, just say no. Don't even open the door. Tell them, unless you have a warrant, you must get off my property immediately or I will shoot you. There's actually a YouTube video of a woman who did that, and they went running, okay? And one of the most ridiculous cases I've ever heard of was a few years ago. There was a child who was bringing organic food to school for lunch, you know, carrots and celery and all kinds of good stuff to eat. The school called CPS, and CPS went to the home to look in their refrigerator. I mean, that's how insane it can get.
Actually, they did do that to me, too.
Uh-huh.
They mentioned that in the report, that we didn't have enough good, that, like, our food was all health and stuff like that, so we didn't have enough food. Our food was healthy food. We didn't have gluttony, like a whole refrigerator full. We just had, like, yogurts and fish and things like that, but to them, not enough, they said.
Although our kids,
after being medically checked, were totally nourished as well as could be.
Right. Right. So your children are neglected because they don't get enough McDonald's, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've heard it all. Now, another thing I wanted to ask you about, one of their tactics often is to try to get the mother and father against each other. And I know that in what you wrote me, they tried to do this initially. They pretended that your husband had said things, you know, about you, you know, I can't remember if it was the gold thing or telling the children about demons, but they tried to convince you that your husband was speaking out against you. Have you and your husband managed to stay together and work together in this travesty?
Yes, we have. And honestly, even though it's been very hard, going through this without our children has been a horrific experience. It's worse than hell. But we've stayed together through all of it, and I'm a very stubborn woman, and I refuse to separate from him, although they have told me several times that it would be easier to fight for our children if we were separate. The judge even ordered in court that I sit at a different table than my husband before she held me in contempt.
Wait a minute. For what reason should you sit at a different table?
Because she told my husband, she was getting mad at my husband because he was trying to show her evidence on a video camera that the guardian ad litem was lying when she came up with some made-up story that I had used profanity as a foster parent. And it was all a big fat lie. That's why we record every conversation with our visits. And he said, we have all of our visits right here. I'd be more than willing to show you this visit. And she refused to hear the visit. She said that this is, again, your mental problems. You guys need to start listening to the guardian and everyone else around you and stop thinking everyone's after you. And I told her that she said that, you know, you guys need to stop this. And I said, Your Honor, number one, I never said anything back to you just now about what the Guardian Alliance said. My husband just said that. Number two, I want you to stop looking at us as the same person. If you're going to hold one of us against the one of us in as a problem, then that person, you look at them as that problem. If I did something wrong, you look at me as I did something wrong. But when you look at us as both of us are doing something wrong so you can keep our children, I'm not okay with that. And she said, okay, fine. You want to be looked at separately, then you go sit at that table over there. And I said, Your Honor, I want to be together with my husband. I just don't want you to use everything we do wrong and against both of us. If I do something wrong, like if I do use profanity against someone, I want you to blame me for it. Don't blame my husband. And she said, fine, go sit at that table. So I had to get up and sit at the table, and right after she held me in contempt, said that she wanted me to go wait in the holding cell because I stood up and said, Your Honor, I don't agree with the fact that you're not allowing my husband to show you the evidence that we have. We should be able to defend ourselves when the guardian comes up with stuff like this. And she said, bailiff, take her back. And I was pregnant, and I'm very claustrophobic, and I had a very hard time sitting in that room looking at profanity all over the walls. You know, and dirty, nasty toilet, and just sitting there wondering, what is happening to my life? What is going on? How is this happening? How are they getting away with this?
Right. Well, I would suggest you start with the words, I object. I object because, you know, that's what the lawyers do. I object to this and that. Not that that's going to make much difference, but that's what I would do if I was you. And, of course, this is another tactic that they oftentimes use, trying to get one parent to say something against the other. And I've even heard of cases where they demand that the parents live in separate residences. So this is another way to financially devastate the family, making them live in different places. I mean, they have so many tricks up their sleeve. Okay,
well,
we
my
have
son, they're trying to turn me against my son right now. They're saying that my son is possibly sexually molesting my six-year-old daughter now, and that we need to at least turn against him. If we turn against him, then we might have a chance to get all of our other kids back.
Oh, God. What a joke.
They get so much worse, but there's an example.
Okay. All right. Lisa from Texas. Are you there, Lisa?
Thank you, Dr. Parley. Thank you. I cannot even believe this. I mean, it's Twilight Zone stuff, even worse. But, Candy, I'm sorry you're having to go through this, and I just, my heart bleeds for you. And the thing that runs through my mind about every other sentence you speak, you are up against a satanic Talmudic beast system that wants to destroy all Christians. I hope you will have somebody, I don't know how much you know about the Talmud and the satanic Judaism that is running this world, but so what I'm thinking, what I'm wondering, I'm sitting here trying to create solutions in my mind. I feel so bad for you, and what I'm thinking is that the more you seem to comply and to try to cooperate and do what they tell you, the worse it gets. It's just satanic. And, you know, I was thinking as you were talking also, I was reading an article about a Canadian family court where the judge has come out that she is into all sorts of sexual perversions and posted pornographic images of herself online. And so the whistle's been blown on her, and apparently that system is, they're all corrupt. But what I'm wondering, obviously, these people that you're dealing with are literally Satanists. That's the only answer, because there is no other answer that's believable. And what I'm wondering is if you're going to have to start fighting fire with fire. And what I mean by that is if there's some way you could hire a private investigator to follow these judges and these family court people and catch them in, you would obviously, I mean, I know you would catch them in sordid, wicked behavior and use that against them, because it just doesn't seem like you are getting any recourse through the legal system. And the only thing that I can think of is that you might have to find dirt on them, like this Canadian person, like this Canadian judge. So I don't know. I'm just trying to think outside the box.
I agree with you.
All right. Hold on. We're going to a break. The problem is, where does she take the dirt? Okay, we'll be right back after these messages. Thanks, Lisa. After the break, we'll bring on Lark from Texas. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where our answer today has been kidnapping of children by the state. Please tell people you know to listen to the archive of the show. People have to wake up and realize not only what's happening out there in America in terms of stealing children, but we're paying for this, people. You know, as we hear that our government's bankrupt, these are the kinds of services we're paying for. It's so horrific. It's hard to even imagine. As Lisa from Texas said, she has a hard time imagining this. But she knows it's true. There's too many situations that it's happening, and of course I lived it, so I know that it's happening. And I can't tell you how important it is for people to stand up and say they're not going to take this anymore. Because when it happens to you, it is so devastating. I mean, many people kill themselves. How do you live through this? How do you go through this? And certainly, Candy, I hope that you will, you know, keep me posted on what's going on. And you're always welcome to come back and give an update. But let's bring on Lark from Texas. Are you there, Lark?
I am. How are you, Dr. Carly? I apologize for not calling earlier. I feel so badly for you, Candy. I'm just going to drop a few words and leave it at that because, frankly, I think Lisa's got something there. I don't think there's only any way to fight these bastards except by using the same kind of deceptive practices against them personally that they have actually put into a rather lengthy and convoluted plan. Because I think what is the truth in America today is that we've been taken over by these people. And
right.
there's a very good review of a book by Solzhenitsyn that somebody can read online by simply going to the Barnes Review and reading Russia and the Jews. I also recommend The Roots of Kabbalah in Christian Communitarian Thinking. Also, Frankfurt School, Satanic Judaism in Action. And Werner Sombart, S-O-M-B-A-R-T, on the Jewish character. And then read why Sombart would make this kind of a statement. Sombart, hyphen, why America is steeped in Jewishness. And the truth is, just like Solzhenitsyn said, we've been taken over by these people.
Right.
Thank you, Dr. Carly.
Thank you. And, of course, it's evidence. Who owns all of these different, you know, areas of our lives? The sports syndicates, the booze industry, drug smuggling, military-industrial complex, Hollywood, the porn industry, GMO and Monsanto, gambling syndicates, mainstream media, tobacco, pharmaceutical companies. It's all these monsters. And they have corrupted everything, and that's exactly the problem. And let me just say that, of course, one of the problems is, even if Candy were to hire a private investigator, where does she go with this information? The judge that was talked about in Canada, what I've realized over the years is, occasionally, they will out one of these evil people, but they do it not because they're doing evil things, because they're all doing evil things. They will pick somebody to out because they pissed off the wrong person in some other area. Maybe they didn't pay a bribe they were supposed to pay or whatever. Okay, sorry, Chris from Las Vegas, we're out of time. Candy, like I said, please keep in touch. Let me know what's going on. Even if you just need to talk, because I've been there, I know what you're going through, and it's hard to keep standing. Okay, folks, we'll be back next week. Like I said, please tell people to listen to the archives. Bye-bye. Bye.